Our Bible reading this morning is found in Ruth chapter 3. One day, Ruth's mother-in-law Naomi said to her, "My daughter, I must find a home for you where you will be well provided for. Now Boaz, with whose women you have worked, is a relative of ours. Tonight he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash, put on perfume and get dressed in your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know that you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do." "I will do whatever you say," Ruth answered. So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. When Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he went over to lie down and at the far end of the grain pile. Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet and lay down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man. He turned and there was a woman lying at his feet. "Who are you?" he asked. "I am your servant Ruth," she said. "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a guardian redeemer of our family." "The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. "This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. All the people of my town know that you are a woman of noble character. Although it is true that I am a guardian redeemer of your family, there is another who is more closely related than I. Stay here for the night, and in the morning, if he wants to do his duty as your guardian redeemer, good, let him redeem you. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until morning." So she lay at his feet until morning, but got up before anyone could be recognized. And he said, "No one must know that a woman came to the threshing floor." He also said, "Bring me the shawl you are wearing and hold it out." When she did so, he poured into it 6 measures of barley and placed the bundle on her. Then he went back to town. When Ruth came to her mother-in-law Naomi, "How did it go, my daughter?" Then she told her everything Boaz had done for her and added, "He gave me these 6 measures of barley, saying, 'Don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed.'" Then Naomi said, "Wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today." This is God's word.
It's good to be here. It's good to be here, really. It's good to be here. And it's good to be considering Book 3, Chapter 3 of Ruth. And I've really enjoyed our journey through Ruth so far. It's just a lovely book, isn't it? As we said in the first week, it's just beautifully written and it's just got such a lot of stuff packed in with those 4 chapters. When we looked at Chapter 1, it wasn't hard, was it, for us to use our imagination and understand the deep loss of Naomi and Ruth as they'd lost, you know, Elimelech, Mahlon and Kion, they'd come back to Bethlehem. We understood what it was like to some degree, lots of us, what it's like to be part of a different culture. I came to Australia 50 years ago when I was 18, this year in fact, and let me tell you, England's not the same as Australia. We speak the same language some of the time, but it is different. Cultures are different. We have a lovely man here from America. I'm sure he'd say, look, American culture is not the same as Australia's. Similarities, but it's not the same. People are unique in different parts of the world. But at times we can feel like a bit of an outsider. And certainly I think Ruth overcame that, as we saw last week. But most importantly, we see throughout this book amazing glimpses of God's grace and provision as these two women negotiated a new life, new opportunities back in Bethlehem. Chapter 3 is a little tricky Because culturally, it is so different from the reality of life in modern Australia. It's like over here and the other one's over here, like trying to understand exactly what is taking place here. In some ways, it sounds quite quaint, these sort of these things that they need to do. In other ways, it's intimate and it's challenging. I hope no one's recently had someone turn up on the end of their bed sleeping on the, over their feet. Like, that's just weird. But it wasn't weird in that culture. And that's what we need to understand. So some of us, oh, I don't know that I'd, especially you women are probably thinking, I'm not going to be doing that. You've got to be kidding me. But this is a different culture, a different time. Especially when we look at this courtship of Ruth and Boaz. And that's what it was. I think when we read chapter 3 of Ruth, it's a courtship story. Chief organizer was Naomi, because she was in a place to actually make some of this stuff happen. Where are we in this space in Australia? And let's consider reality TV just for a moment, because it's really not worth our while actually spending too much time on it. And I've not seen any of these shows on mainstream TV, but I gather, you know, there's lots of people who love these shows. And I gather there's lots of different ways to meet a partner. Is anyone looking for a partner at the moment? Okay, good. That's sort of relieving. One of the options is you go on Married at First Sight. How does that work? I didn't even go into what this one means. Love after lockup. I think it's after you've been in jail, I think. The Bachelorette. You know, you're one of, I don't know how many blokes are fighting for this one woman. Love Island. Like, it's really, like, what would Ruth and Naomi and Boaz think of what we do? I think they'd be a bit more than shocked. So Ruth 3 might stretch us a little. But it's God's word. And it has something to say to us this morning. And there will be a couple of moments in Ruth where you might think, that's a bit embarrassing. But that's okay. That's okay. But let's pray and ask God to speak to us through his Spirit as we consider his word this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're here this morning through your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that you not only live within your people as a mark of ownership, but you also move amongst your people. And I pray, Lord, that you might be moving amongst us through your Spirit today, and that we would understand how God works in wonderful ways in this story, displaying his ongoing grace, his faithfulness and provision to Naomi, Ruth and Boaz, but also importantly, how his ongoing grace, faithfulness and provision is part of our story too. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we've really been, in the first couple of chapters, there's been this reference to this kinsman redeemer, which is, I guess, starts to become unpacked a little bit more in chapter 3. Within the tight and the mutually supportive Hebraic community, there were many laws and guidelines that were given to them by God as to how their community should work. And at all of those, I guess, laws and provisions, justice is always at the core of what God does. God is never, ever unjust, in case you're wondering. He can never be accused of injustice, because that is against his very nature, is not to be unjust. It is to always be just in all his dealings. These laws are outlined within the Torah and were significant in keeping the Israelites within the covenantal promises of God. And of course, we know that that doesn't work, does it? One of the things the Old Testament shows is that we can't keep all of God's commands. We're always going to mess up. We always will actually need a kinsman redeemer. We actually need someone who will stand in our place and be the perfect person, the one who actually is totally always in God's will and always does the right thing. So these instructions were provided so that people would treat each other well. Because God wants people to treat everyone, not just people in the people of God. He expects his people to treat everyone well. Everyone that we come across in the course of a day, we are to treat them well, as much as we are able with God's strength. But part of this story in Ruth is that the love of God and the love of your neighbor was paramount. They're never separated. Love of God and love of your neighbor is always part of the deal. Isn't that what Jesus said? What are the two most important commands? To love God and to love your neighbor. It's in some ways it's simple. Isn't it hard to carry out? It seems simple, but it's something that we grapple with. We grapple with about how we think about others, how we think about God sometimes. But anyway, let's look at this kinsman redeemer. Had an important part to play in certain situations within the community life of Israel. If a husband dies without a son, a close relative of that man is to marry her. If there's an existing brother, he should do it to fully provide an obligation to provide a child to that woman so that the name of that family continues on. And we've heard a lot about that in Ruth, is that Naomi was very concerned that her line's coming to an end. She said to her two daughters-in-law, look, what are you going to do? Are you just going to wait till I have another child? And I think she said, look, I'm past child rearing. Don't wait for me to do that. That's not going to happen. But what it means is always when the kinsman redeemer steps in and does his rightful duty, the first child born would always bear the family name of the brother. So it's the one who's passed. In Ruth's case, there was no brother remaining. So that changed. You can read that. I'm not going to read all these because I might leave that to you. It's Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 5 and 6. Deuteronomy 25, verses 5 and 6. Makes it very clear. It's one of the duties of this kinsman redeemer. There's another reason. If a man becomes poor and sells some of his property, in other words, he's destitute, he's thinking, how can I actually get some cash flow? And everyone for all time has needed some sort of cash flow. Or sometimes it's actually product flow. It's not always cash, but you need something that keeps you alive, that you can sell, that means you can eat, that's something you can barter, you can trade with. That's always been part of the world, and it remains the case the same. If he's had to sell a property, a kinsman redeemer can actually buy back the property on his behalf. So he sort of steps in. He's like a really friendly mortgage broker who actually takes it on himself and takes the mortgage on himself. So, but it's part of that sense of how do you love someone in this situation? You buy back the land. You ensure that their future is secured. The third thing, if a man sells himself, and this is not... often you'd say slavery, but it's actually indentured labour. If you're in different parts of the world, Africa, parts of the subcontinent, parts of Southeast Asia, this is an ongoing issue. People basically get themselves into debt. Someone says, well, come over here and I'll pay the debt, but then you work for me. The trouble is there's no end. There's no end. So it's totally and utterly unjust. But they have a reasonably just system in that, again, this kinsman redeemer can actually pay off the debt for this person. So they're no longer indentured to anyone. They're actually effectively free. The last one, the fourth reason, was to avenge the unlawful killing of a relative. So you would have heard these stories, you know, if someone actually gets killed and there appears to be, it's just not an accident, someone was able to actually go and kill that person. So the kinsman redeemer, that's part of their job. But there's also fortress cities, places of refuge. So again, God was just. He wanted to make sure that justice prevailed through all this. So what we have in Ruth 3 is Naomi's starting to make plans. Thanks, Noel. we don't all make plans, do we? But Ruth did. And she had a plan. And this is what she says. She says, one day Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to Ruth, my daughter, should I not find a home for you where you will be well provided for? What's that about? Justice. It's about provision of security for this woman. And particularly, think of where she came from. She was a Moabite, so she wasn't a local. But she really had endeared herself to the locals. They saw that this woman was a really beautiful woman looking after her mother-in-law, that she actually cared for her, she worked for her, she made sure that Naomi had enough to eat. So is not Boaz, with whose servant girls you have been, a kinsman of ours? Remember, we talked about last week, and it just so happened that the field she was working in was Boaz's field. That wasn't just so happened. God's provision had worked that. So if you want, there were disconnected points, but at that point, when she started to work in his field, there was a connection. Naomi's working on that. Tonight, Boaz will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor, separating the stalks from the grain itself. Wash and perfume yourself and put on your best clothes. It's Sunday, obviously. It doesn't happen just on Sundays, though, does it? Used to, Sunday best. You remember that? I certainly remember that. Not that I was a Christian at the time, but I remember that. Then go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. That's a bit sly. Why do you think Boaz is not going to be at his best in some ways at the end of a busy day in the heat, eating and drinking, and it wasn't Fanta and it wasn't lemonade? Most likely had some sort of alcohol content in it. So he's not going to be at his best. He's probably absolutely worn. So Naomi's working out when's the best time for this to happen. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying, because he's not alone. There's going to be other people that he was eating and drinking with. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do. Like, oof, that's a bit scary, isn't it? Does that make you think, well, how's this going to work out? This could get really messy here. But it doesn't end up being messy. It ends up being God's provision for Ruth and Naomi. And I'm just going to read the next bit. I will do whatever you say, Ruth answered. So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything just as her mother-in-law told her to do. And when Boaz had finished eating, Ruth approached, uncovered his feet and lay down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man, and he turned and discovered a woman lying at his feet. Who are you? So also tells you how he's going. He's just woke up from sleep. It's not good, is it, to be woken up in the middle of the night? And for a moment, I used to travel around. I used to work for the bank at one stage, the Commonwealth Bank, which bank? And sometimes in the middle of the night, I'd want to get up, and I'd forgotten which way. And it's pitch black. It was in the middle of nowhere, Condobolin and those sort of places. I've no idea where the bathroom is. You know, you're totally disorientated. So I imagine Boaz is a bit of this. He's wait, what's going on here? Like, what's happening? Who are you, he asked. I am your servant Ruth, she said. Spread the corner of your garment over me, for you are my kinsman redeemer. Does that ring any bells? To spread your garment over me. Remember the picture of the eagle with its owner, with its handler, how it sort of wrapped itself around him. There's a similar picture here. Already Boaz had said to her in verse 10 and 11 of chapter 2, may you be richly rewarded by the Lord, he's saying this to Ruth, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to find refuge. So there's a connection here. So Boaz has said this to Ruth, and now Ruth is saying to Boaz, hey, She didn't actually say this, but she could have been saying this. Don't you remember that you said that you would find refuge under God's wing? Well, Boaz was to be the one. God uses people. Most of the time, God can do anything he jolly well wants to do at any stage, but he chooses often to restrict himself. So he doesn't go around every single day of your life or my life in really obvious miracles that the things are totally impossible if it wasn't for God. But what he does do, he uses his people for good in this world. He gives us, so he, if you want, were his hands and feet, were his mouth of encouragement, were hearts that are warm and caring of others. That's what this is all about. For them, but also for us. We need to quickly add that Boaz obviously has learned a lot about Ruth. He's come to a good estimation of her. She's of good character. She's not run after younger men. I think it would be right to presume that Boaz was a bit more mature and Ruth would have been a younger woman. You know, I'm not going to guess at her age, but she'd be a younger woman. In other words, it wouldn't have been unreasonable for her to have run after some of the younger men. But she hadn't done that. He's elevated his opinion of her because of that. She's deeply cared for Naomi. I think it's reasonable to think that there may have been a slow burn love happening here. When you read in between, and I know it's the Bible, but you just get this sense that something's happening, don't you, as you keep reading on. Oh, there's another connection there, Boaz and Ruth. But God was at work bringing these people together. He also protects, it says in verse 14, the second part of it, so she lay at his feet until morning. So remember, there's other people around, but got up before anyone could be recognized. And he said, don't let it be known that a woman came to the threshing floor. Why is that important? Reputation, absolutely. He's protecting her. So already he's stepping into that role, if you want, of kinsman redeemer. Doing the right thing by her, making sure that no one could accuse her of any wrong being. This, we've got to remember this. This, you know, laying at a man's feet and stuff is very weird to us, but there's nothing immoral about it. In that culture, it was just what you did. So we have and see the wheels being set in motion. And Naomi, I think, makes a good comment in verse 18. For the man... I read all of it. Then Naomi said to Ruth, wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today. Naomi also knows that Boaz is a man of respect, man of influence. I found a lot in the story of Ruth. One is that the Lord, if you want, the Yahweh, is a good and a gracious God caring for his people. Even when it doesn't appear like it. It's trusting in God even when everything in life goes pear-shaped. Still trusting God. Hopefully we've learnt that in great loss and grief, there is always hope. There is always hope. There's another day, there's another moment. And that the Lord, whilst able to do miraculous things, as I said before, chooses to use us, hands and feet, hearts and mouths. We should never forget Ruth's pledge in chapter 1. Remember her pledge? Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Really heartfelt pledge. I love this quote. Ruth strikingly exemplifies the truth that participation in the kingdom of God is decided not by blood or by birth, but by the conformity of one's life to the will of God through obedience that comes by faith. We don't really hear much about her faith in God, but we see it played out. So her life is changed. because of this encounter with the Lord. And it's a different encounter to what we are able to have, but an encounter nonetheless. We also find in the next chapter that Boaz could have walked away actually from being the kinsman redeemer, because there is another one higher up the list than he. But he acted with a really generous spirit towards Ruth and a real willingness to be used by God. His actions were full of grace and truth. We'll be looking at that briefly next week. I think something that really came to mind frequently in Ruth was that, look at Christmas, we celebrate, and we've been doing that in the last however many days, 10 days, celebrating Christmas in its various forms. And it's, we celebrate the gift of Jesus to us, all that he is, that he came to a baby so vulnerable, so subject to all sorts of things that could have happened to him, but God provided for him. But he's also our ultimate kinsman redeemer. In the story before us, who needs the kinsman redeemer? Naomi and Ruth, really. It's the both of them need it. But for us, we all need the one who would step in. You seem like really lovely people. I really enjoyed my time here. But I think you'd admit to me, and I'm going to admit to you, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not. I can't come to God confident because I'm a good bloke. I can come to God because I know that Jesus is in my place. He died in my place. I can have hope, not that I'm going to get better, and I hope that over the years that I do get more mature, that I'm not as silly, that I don't do stupid things, that I don't lie in any context at all, I don't deceive people, I don't whatever. But I think we all need that. The one who steps in. And Jesus is God the Father's step-in person. And we can step into his life. We can't redeem ourselves. We need a redeemer. 2 Corinthians 8:10 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, so that through his poverty we might become rich." God stepped into that place of taking God's punishment on himself. We're going to sing, and we're going to end with a singing of a psalm, which is a bit of a personal reflection thing, not from me, but hopefully from us. It's based on an old hymn. But I also just want to read Psalm 103, just to which reminds me of all the different things that our kinsman redeemer has done for us. It says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit." That's where we're headed without Jesus. There's only one name by which we can be saved, and that name is the name of Jesus. "He crowns you with love and compassion. He satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending your son Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that Boaz was an echo of the fullness of what you would bring a couple of thousand years later. But Lord, we thank you that you are here with us today. And I pray, Lord, that as we look at a new year, new opportunities, that we would rededicate ourselves to you, that we would look to see you in all the little and the big things of life. Help us, Lord, to be disciplined as we come to you, that we would seek you out just as you seek us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
as you step out today and into a new year tomorrow. Use the wisdom of Naomi. Remember to turn to God, who always will provide. Use the courage of Ruth to move forward, even if it is into the unknown. Use the hope of Naomi and remember to find the true hope that is always yours. Use the sacrifice of Ruth and God will reward you with life beyond your dreams. Use the wisdom of Naomi and know that the now is not your final destination. Use the action of Ruth and remember that trust in God leads to bold action. As you step into this new year, 2024, it may be the year where your story will impact millions without you even knowing it, just like Ruth and Naomi. Amen. Amen.